All right, what's happening, everybody? Welcome to GSR Gonzo Sports Room. What kind of chips you eating there, Jay?
It's called sour gummy bears, man. I swear to God, it's like the best thing ever. Fucking love them. You eat popcorn on memes. I eat sour gummy bears.
I thought he was chomping on some potatoes.
I thought maybe he found them Ruffles. Some
listen. We'll be on getting those Ruffles tomorrow, though. That is on my priority list for tomorrow, is to look for Lay's onions tasted wavy Lay's. What a time to be alive, guys. What a time to be alive, damn it. Yes, you are just in time.
You know, I played a bit to hit the countdown. I started playing the intro video, and I was getting stuff ready, not paying attention. So half the damn intro video played before we ever went to the countdown.
Listen, man, when you told me to close out the afternoon show today, I told Frankie, there's 30 damn videos. Which one do I play? Hey, listen, I'm just gonna say a little quotation, and you guys tell me who said it. You ready? Why would you touch the fucking quarterback?
I would say probably the Bengals head coach.
Close. He said Jay starts it off with typical bullshit. Nah, seriously, does anybody know who said that? Nobody knows? Frowned upon to beat your child for getting special treatment. Yeah, all right, I'm going to help you out, man. It was the linebacker Pratt for the Cincinnati Bengals when he came into the locker room and he didn't think nobody was watching. And he's saying to himself, why would you touch the fucking quarterback? What a time to be alive, man. What a time to be alive. And then he goes on to say, this is my last fucking year, because he's on an expiring contract and he doesn't know if he's going to be back. Because he doesn't know if the money's going to be right. So this could be his last year with the Bengals if the money's not right. So I get where he's coming from. I get his frustration, because honestly, I don't think there's a person in this room that wouldn't be frustrated when you got a guy doing something that dumbfounded that cost you
a penalty
for their progression.
Penalty probably might have cost you that game, because that game probably goes in overtime, because it would have been like a 56-yard field goal.
I think it was a little longer.
Well, they said it was a 45-yard, 15-yard penalty, so close to 60 yards.
Yeah, about 60 yards. And in that weather, I don't think he was going to make it. So, and with the Chiefs receivers being hurt, you would say, I mean, no guarantee, but you would think it would have kind of favored the Bengals a little bit if it goes to overtime.
Go ahead.
God, hey, y'all don't know what God was laughing at, but I do. don't put that shit up there. They can read that shit in the comment section. Go to the next comment.
but Dustin, he's not happy right now, because his son is going to get to go to the Super Bowl and he has to stay home.
Oh man.
Oh, that does. That sucks.
Yeah, he messed me up.
Wow. That sucks. Well, hey, at least his son gets to go. Hey, could be nobody.
True.
Hey, maybe his son will bring him back a souvenir.
I don't know. If I had to choose between nobody or my son going, I'd probably tell my son he wasn't going.
Oh man, what a buzzkill. God, Jonathan, come on.
If I can't go, you ain't going.
Hey, look at like this, man. Hey, you know, kids get in for free, man. Hey, kids get in for free, don't they?
Oh, I doubt they get in for free.
I just say put Gonzo in a little kid's uniform, man, and take his ass on and see what happens. What a time to be alive.
Seriously, that would be a good experience for his son.
How does the son
get that'd be a good experience for anybody.
Dustin's parents go to Arizona for the winter, and they're
taking him.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Hey, They told Dustin, we only got enough money for one ticket. You didn't get selected.
I bet you they paid.
Who knows how much they paid?
Oh, they paid a good amount of money for that ticket. You know they paid a good amount of money. God, I couldn't even fathom how much money that would cost to go see a Super Bowl. That's got to be a few grand a ticket, even in the like in those crappy seats.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, if you're sitting in the good seats, you're spending probably over 10 grand.
Oh yeah, that's like a Ford. It's like a bunch of Ford Mustangs down there in the good seats and the decent seats, and then that's you probably got some Mercedes Benz and Lamborghinis down in the field box area.
And that's what sucks because most of the NFL audience can't afford to go watch to pay them that kind of money, so they kind of outprice it. They outprice it for like a normal people. It's
corporate.
It's all corporate that are there, and hell, half the guy, half them people that. A lot of them corporate people that are there don't even fucking watch football.
Yeah, exactly. They're all trying to get their deals done for whatever it is they're trying to get done. And then they claim it off as tax write-offs too. So, you know, whatever money they did spend for that, it's all going to get written off in taxes. It'll be all good. I just wonder how much I've never been to a basketball NBA finals, but I wonder how much those tickets are because they sure as hell can't, even the nosebleeds can't be that cheap.
Yeah, I have no idea. I would say NFL is probably more expensive, I would assume.
Hey, let me tell you, since I was just in Phoenix, the banners are – yeah, I bet they are because they're promoting the hell out of it. Let me tell you something, Frankie. Go on ahead and go to Philly if you want to. Just don't try to climb the light posts. I heard they got stuff on them that won't allow you to climb them. Although Frankie, you know, he's not all human. He might be able to get up that like that flagpole or something.
What do you think of Kellen Moore going to the Chargers?
I think it's a great thing. For Cowboys, it's a great thing. For the Chargers, maybe not so great. I don't know. I'll tell you this. It needed to happen for both parties, for Kellen Moore and the Cowboys, right? So it needed to happen for Kellen Moore because he had to get out from that shadow or the stigmatism that, hey, it's his fault, right? So in order to get away from them saying, hey, Kellen, you know, it's probably your fault play calling because you're the holdover from the regime. So then he had to fucking beat feet to show them that, hey, maybe it's not the Cowboy or not me, it's the Cowboy. Same thing for McCarthy. McCarthy had to get away from Kellen Moore to prove himself and say, hey, look, it's not, you know, Kellen Moore was the issue, not me. But he's really banking on himself, too, with that play calling. So he's putting all the marbles in his basket, right?
Yeah, but see, man, a couple of years ago, his name was real high in talks for head coaching jobs, and now I think his stock has really fallen a lot. I think he might have got one interview this year, but you didn't hear his name a lot like you was a year or two ago.
It might be a good thing for the Chargers. I mean, it ain't been working. Their offense hadn't been working all the time.
Hey guys, this is Frankie. Hey, this is Frankie, and I love Frankie. Frankie's my, you know, he's my brother from another mother, but. Sometimes the elevator don't go to the top floor with Frankie. He thinks that it was just for the NFC game only. Like, if the Eagles win the Super Bowl, they're not going to go out there and put stuff on the poles too, right? Yeah, they were only for the NFC game. Go ahead, Frankie. I'd love to see you climb a pole right now after the Super Bowl and see how far you get up that pole.
Glenn said they'd line them poles with some butter.
Oh, man. He said karma has finally come to Dallas, and I can't wait for their offense. You know what? I'll tell you what, man. The offense is probably less likely to crash than it would be out there. And
my only thing with Kellen Moore for the Chargers, to me, it kind of seems like a lateral move because I don't know if that Kellen Moore is any better than Joe Lombardi at calling plays. So I don't, you know what I mean? So I don't know if I would say it's a, if it is an upgrade, it's not a, I wouldn't say it's a big upgrade.
Yeah, I think for their situation, it will be a lateral move. Hell, it could even be worse than a lateral move, depending on Kellen Moore's play calling. Because like I said, there's a lot of people in the NFL world, even some players, that have described the Cowboys' defense as extremely predictable and easy to figure out. So if that was going on with him in Dallas, could you imagine how that's going to translate over to San Diego?
let me ask you this, though. Ain't it a good move in a way for Kellen Moore? Because, in my opinion, I think he's going to a better quarterback.
Yeah, I agree with that. It could be.
Yeah.
I do think he's going to a better quarterback.
Well, again, like you said, right, it's 50% execution on the quarterback and 50% play calling from your coordinator. So, yeah, the coordinator could be great as hell, but if your quarterback can't execute it, then, yeah, you're still stuck in limbo, right? So,
yep.
Who do you think is going to be the Cowboys coordinator? Mike McCarthy going to call the plays and he's going to bring somebody in as a
– And that's the thing. Why even – if you're just going to call the plays yourself and you're not going to use your offensive coordinator to call plays, why are you even calling him an offensive coordinator? You might as well call him an offensive developmental coach and just have him develop your quarterback, and that's really about it. Hell, you don't even really need that. You already got a quarterback coach, so you don't even need an offensive coordinator if you're going to call your own plays. How crazy is that? He said quarterback or no. Jason Carroll will come back. God, I hope not. Oh, Lord, that would be horrible. God, how horrible would that be?
That'd be a backwards move, wouldn't it?
Oh, it would be beyond backwards. I don't even know what other kind of move there would be, but it would be beyond whatever's worse than backwards. That's what it would be.
They're going to bring Jeff Saturday in as your offensive coordinator.
Oh, wow. Well, he'd probably do a better job than your head coach. I mean, at this point, a demotion for him is probably a welcome thing, to be honest with you. He really just needs to be an offensive line coach. I've been saying that. Gonzo, you know I've been saying that. I don't know why he's not an offensive line coach right now. That's where he needs to start out. Just like Leon Lett. You don't see Leon Lett being a head coach. No, he was a defensive line coach because he played defensive line. God, what a time to be alive. God, don't bring Tony Romo either. No, you can keep Tony on the bench too, man. Tony can't even hold a football.
I don't know what you think, but
– and a kickoff.
Romo has got, in my opinion, he's got terrible at the announcing.
When he first started doing it, I kind of liked him. He didn't bother me. But I'll tell you what, this year, especially during the playoffs,
I think he sucks.
He was – yeah, it was. I don't know. It was kind of annoying trying to watch the game, some of the shit he was saying.
Yeah, I put him in that same category as like Joe Buck. I don't like listening to Joe Buck. I know you like Joe Buck. I guess Joe Buck's your guy, but I personally don't like Joe Buck.
I'm just saying, I don't know. I wouldn't put Romo up there with Joe Buck, even if I didn't care for Joe Buck as much as to Joe Buck.
I don't like either one of them. Honestly, hey, look, you can have Joe Buck. You can have Tony Romo.
I'm not saying Joe Buck is great either.
Yeah. And while you're at it, take Chris Collinsworth with you.
Chris Collinsworth.
Hey, you can have all three of them, to be honest with you. Give me some Marv Alberts or hell, I wish you could bring back John Madden, but they'd have to, that'd take a whole lot. I don't think
that'd take quite a bit.
All you gotta do is just, you know, put a voice box in the back of his head, throw him up on the podium. You know, as a taxidermist, and let him do his thing. I'm telling you, hey, listen, I'd be more likely to listen to that.
It's going to be kind of quiet, though.
Hey, listen, I'd rather listen to quiet than Joe Buck, though. I swear, no matter what team I'm going for, Joe Buck is always going for the opposite team. I shit you not. Listen to him on a Cowboys game. Listen to him on a Cowboys. He is adamant. It's almost like he might as well just come out and say, yo, I'm Stephen A. reincarnated. Fuck the Cowboys.
Nah, well, he has to because he's standing beside Troy Aikman. They both can't be rooting for the damn Cowboys.
Well, that's true.
Frankie said, you know, hey,
listen, if Tom Brady wanted to come in and be the offensive coordinator, who am I to say no, honestly? I mean – hey, Tom Brady is – I don't know if I put him at the offensive coordinator, but I definitely have him as a quarterback's coach.
Well, I think he could be offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I do too. I think Peyton Manning could be a good offensive coordinator.
I think Peyton Manning would be a hell of an offensive coordinator as well.
Do you think so? Even without training, do you think they would I mean, I know Peyton Manning and Tom Brady have really good abilities to read the defense, so I get that.
That, and I mean, look how many game plans they've helped to put together as quarterbacks of their team, because they both them had a lot of say in the offenses.
Yeah, I would have to just be in that interview room, and I'd have to listen to their pitch on what they think they could do with the offense that last year's offense didn't do, and then you could probably make your opinion off that. But yeah, I understand what you're saying.
And I'm not saying you like bring them in and boom right away, but I think they both could make good offense coordinators. Dustin said he's heard one name linked to Dallas.
Philbin. Yeah, I mean, you know,
I can see that because of him being with McCarthy in Green Bay.
Yeah. Who was the offensive coordinator? I'm gonna ask y'all, Dustin. I know you're gonna know this. We can put it in the comments. Who was the offensive coordinator for Green Bay when they won the Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers? Who was his offensive coordinator? Because I honestly don't, I couldn't tell you.
It might have been Philbin.
Was it Philbin?
I'm not 100% sure, but it might have been. I'm trying to think who. I think he was there quite a while with McCarthy.
Yeah, Dustin just said it was Philbin. Okay.
I thought that's who it was Philbin.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, hey, if you got a Super Bowl with those coordinate with that coordinator, I mean, I wouldn't be. Hey, listen, after coming out of Kellen Moore, man, I wouldn't be opposed to it. I really would. I would not be opposed one bit.
Next honestly. Offensive coordinator is going to be Jerry Jones.
Man, you know what? Hey, we laughed, but damn, I mean, you know, he wants all the damn positions. So, and let's be honest, you know, when Jerry don't like something, you don't think Jerry calling down there and telling McCarthy, "Yo, do this or do that." I gotta imagine at some level Jerry is talking with the coach during the game in some either direct or indirect methods. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Did you see?
I mean, it just doesn't seem to me like Jerry wouldn't have some sort of comment to say, you know? Especially if they're losing, for crying out loud. You know he's got to be on that tube talking some kind of way.
Yeah. See where Brock Purdy tore his UCL.
Yeah, he's going to have Tommy John, correct?
I think from what I heard, they still have to do some more evaluation before they know if he has to have – if they can just repair it or if they're going to have – or if he's going to have Tommy John. But either way, they're saying he's going to be out at least 6 months.
I would say 6 months if he doesn't require Tommy John. If he requires Tommy John, you got to imagine it's going to be closer to a year, don't you think? I mean, I don't know. I mean, is it maybe it's different? Well, I know it's a pitcher, it's a year. Maybe for a quarterback, it might be less because they don't have to maybe do as much, you know, different types of pitches or whatever with the arm. So it may be, maybe it might be less. I just know with the pitcher, it's typically, I know with Justin Verlander, at least that's the only one I really know. You know, he was out for more than a year, or a little, about a year and a half or so.
Yeah, from what I was hearing earlier, they were saying at least 6 months. So who
knows? Oh, I got to imagine. Yeah, I wouldn't say anything closer than six. I would be surprised.
And that's going to be interesting to see what the 49ers decide to do. We'll know how healthy they think he is going into the beginning of the season by, like, what quarterbacks they still have on that roster.
Well, absolutely. And then what if Brock Purdy, you know, what if it is just 6 months and he makes it back in time for training camp? What do they do with the other two guys? Who do they cut? They got to cut one of them.
Well, I think Jimmy G's a free agent, so they can let him go. God. And you don't have Lance.
That means you must have a lot of confidence in Lance, and I don't know if I have that much confidence in Lance, but – I understand where you're coming from because he would be the cheaper solution, right? Because Jimmy's probably going to require more money than Trey.
I'm telling you, I wouldn't be surprised if you see them maybe try to make a move toward Aaron Rodgers. He said before that he always wanted to play in San Francisco. They could be in the limbo.
So if they did that, what would they do? Trade both Garoppolo and Trey Lance for – Aaron Rodgers?
Maybe not.
Because, draft capital or what?
Maybe not because you don't know when the one quarterback's going to be healthy.
You're saying probably at least six months.
But yeah. If he has Tommy John surgery, it's going to be longer than that.
Well, Well, that was including Tommy John.
Oh, it was?
Football. Tommy John's a little different.
I thought if he had to have Tommy John, it was going to be longer.
Tommy John's a little different in football than for baseball.
Man, if they bring Aaron Rodgers, number one, okay, let's think about that for a minute. With the logjam at quarterback, if you brought Aaron Rodgers, you have a serious logjam, right? That's four quarterbacks that you're paying, and one out of the four is making over 50-some-odd million dollars. I mean,
you lose Garoppolo on Garoppolo.
Well, yeah, you lose. Okay, even if you lose Garoppolo, you still got to pay Trey. You still got to pay Purdy.
But the good thing about Trey and Purdy is they're both on their rookie deal, so they're not.
Yeah, Purdy. Nothing.
Purdy isn't nothing, and Trey's not real bad because he's still on a rookie deal.
But they are losing a roster spot though.
Yeah.
But if you lose Garoppolo and replace him with Rodgers, then you'd still be okay because you're basically replacing one with one, and that's what they rode with to the Super Bowl. So they could get around that. I just don't see them getting around the $50 million. That's just such a big number.
He said he's
wrong. Yeah, he could say a lot of things. You know, Brett Favre said a lot of things. I mean, he can say a lot.
I'm just saying, you never know.
And in all honesty, he would have to do that. If they trade him or if he goes somewhere else, he's going to have to.
If you add him there with the weapons they have on offense and that defense they have, that'd be a scary team.
Oh, it'd absolutely be scary. But like you said, he'd have to cut that pay almost in half in order to make it work.
Yeah, I think
25, 30 million a season.
I think
plus the other two or other one there. Yeah, the other two and Trey Lance and Purdy. They'd have to cut it down to somewhere in the $30 million in order to make that work.
I think he'd be scary in Dallas. I don't know.
Oh, he'd be absolutely scary in Dallas with that defense, the run game, Schultz.
Yeah, I don't know. Lamb. I know Dustin is high on the Jets. I'm not near as high on the Jets, even with Rodgers.
Well, I mean, if you put Rodgers on that team, you got to do some offensive line work and get probably another receiver, but they got a great defense.
I like that one. How dare you speak about – let me tell you something.
The reason a lot of people are going with the Jets is where they think he's going to end up is because of Hackett Soucy now.
I know.
But I just think that he's just following the faint footsteps as Favre almost in a way. Justin says, don't speak about Favre like that. Look, I done gone into Green Bay bars. I done said that Brett Favre sucks to the Green Bay people themselves. Yes, I got hit a couple of times, but you know what? This jaw's not made of glass.
Jay, I want to get your opinion on something. What do you think? I've been seeing all these memes and complaints and stuff on my Facebook feed and on TV and different things.
Yeah.
About the Chiefs and the referees give the Chiefs that game. What do you think about
that? Yeah, I don't think they gave him the game, truthfully. And I'll tell you why. Look, man, Chiefs didn't make them throw two interceptions. Chiefs didn't, Chiefs didn't tell Osei to go over there and knock the crap out of – or was it Osei? Am I thinking the right one?
It was Osei.
Yeah, Osei. They didn't tell – the Bengals didn't tell Osei to go over there and hit Patrick Mahomes the way he hit him. Those were key events that cost him that game. Those are three key events. Three, much less what the refs were doing. So if you want to say the refs were doing it, even if the refs were doing it, you certainly didn't help your cause out throwing interceptions and that penalty at the end of the game. So, I mean, I hate when people say the refs are this, because if you're playing good, you're going to do good. If you're playing bad, you'll do bad. And you can't let referees can't dictate every damn thing. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, I didn't see. I mean, I thought a lot of the calls went San Francisco's way. That happened sometimes. I thought the calls went in when it made a difference in the game. But in the other game, I thought Philly got all the calls. I mean, that happens sometimes. It wouldn't have made a difference in that game because San Francisco didn't have a quarterback. But
right.
I mean, sometimes it just happens that way. It can be close calls. It can be no calls. Things sometimes just don't go your way. And I think that happened.
Hey, hold on a minute.
I don't think anybody was trying to.
All the big calls went to all the big calls did go to the Chiefs. But that happens. You can't blame the game on that. The one call that I really hated, though, was on that kick return that set up the game-winning field goal before the stupid penalty. On that kick return, they got a big return, and there was a big block in the back that they missed. That should have been called. Now, that was a big call in the game. But I'm not going to say – I'm not going to blame that on why the Bengals lost. You lost because you turned the ball over a couple of times and you made a dumbass penalty at the end of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And Dustin Reese, I know you say you hate the Packers, but respect the hell out of Favre. I mean, I'm assuming you mean you respect the hell out of Favre's play. You got to put play at the end of Favre because otherwise you tell me you respect the man, and nobody respects Favre the man. He took money from welfare kids. In the arms of an angel.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Mahomes wasn't healthy.
I mean, you got to give the Chiefs credit for that, losing their receivers. Yeah. And I mean, they banged out a win.
Yeah, Chiefs earned that win. And I still, I think it's going to be a hell of a game. But I think that but then again, you don't know if the Chiefs, even if them guys come back, like I seen some stuff earlier today, are these guys. They'll start the game, but will they finish the game? I mean, are they going to be healthy enough to finish the game? So, I mean, it could affect, you know, so we'll see.
Yeah. And again, even if they come back, look, when you go up against this Eagles team that doesn't have injuries like you guys have or have had to overcome, and I know they have 2 weeks. I know everybody, and you can do a lot in 2 weeks. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, sometimes those injuries can get re-aggravated. So, I tell you, if the Chiefs want to come away with the win, they can't go in there, you know, half-assed or half rostered, man, because that's not going to get it done against this Chiefs team. This Chiefs team is going to be a lot tougher than what the Bengals were. And so that beating the Bengals the way you beat them, that's not going to fly in with the Philadelphia Eagles. You're going to have to be 100% ready to go.
I don't know if I'd say that the Eagles are that much of a better team than the Bengals, though, either. Bengals are a pretty damn good football team. Eagles are good too, though.
Well, you know, look at the offensive line. You know, I think the offensive line is better than the Eagles. I think the running game, I think Miles Sanders is better. I think the dual threat of that quarterback. And hey, I do like the way Burrow runs. Don't get me wrong. Burrow
kicked off. Hurts ain't even close to being on Burrow's level, dude.
I'm not saying he's better than Burrow, but I'm saying he's still a dual threat quarterback, and he still can put the ball on the ground quite a bit. I mean, you know, if you look at Burrow, you know, he got sacked, what, was it 5 times or 3 times that he got sacked?
Yeah, but everybody's acting like Hurts played a great game yesterday. He did not play
I'm not saying he played a great game, but let's not act like Burrow hasn't had a bad game either. I mean, remember when Patrick Mahomes was in the Super Bowl, what, a year or two back, and he stunk up the joint in the Super Bowl? He sucked. Patrick Mahomes sucked in the Super Bowl last time he was in there. So let's not act like Patrick Mahomes has not had a bad game or Burrow hasn't had a bad game. Look at Josh Allen when they played the damn Patriots in the Snow Bowl.
The key for Kansas City, they got to slow down Philadelphia's run game. If they can slow
down. Absolutely. I agree. Yeah. They definitely have to slow down the run game.
So San Francisco did. They really did until you got to the middle of the third quarter and they got tired because they was on the field the whole damn game.
Right. It's always the same for any team, right? If you have good clock management, if you're on the field more than the other guys on the field, I mean, that's the key to winning any game, right? So
yeah, it was real bad. It was like 38 to 20. I mean,
I'm tracking. Yeah, it was pretty rough. It was no doubt about it because
they had no, because you know, they had no offense.
Yeah, they were one dimensional.
Yeah, San Francisco had no offense. So it just, because Philadelphia only averaged three. I mean, I'm not just talking about running. I'm talking about both together, passing and running. 3.8 is all they averaged. That's not great. And San Francisco, as bad as they was, it was only like 3.3. So, you know, offensively, it wasn't like Philly killed them. It was just – and they also had – also.
But, I mean, you have to admit, though. Hey, you have to also admit, both those guys have good defenses, though. Both those teams have good defense. I mean, look at the Dallas and 49ers. I mean, 19 to 12, only 2 touchdowns were scored the whole game, one on each side. You know,
that's the question. Can Kansas City step up and play well enough. I don't think Kansas City's defense is as good as Dallas or San Francisco, in my opinion.
And I'm not saying too. Hey, listen, I'll be honest with you. Hey, I think the X factor too is not only the run game, but the true X factor is that offensive line of Philly, because they're going to have to, number one, make sure they give holes to Miles Sanders, which I imagine they will, but they're also going to have to hold back the, if they can hold back the offense and give Hurts enough time to, you know, throw the ball, you know, four, you know, 3 to 4 seconds, you know, he can pick you apart with Goddard, you know, Brown, Smith. I mean, we've seen it happen. So, I mean, that offense can be pretty freaking nasty, you know, given that offensive line.
It can be. It's going to be interesting to see the lines match up, because I think
– Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a battle.
Kansas City does have a real good offensive line, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens there.
Man, if I had to name that game, I would call it Battle of the Trenches.
That's who's going to win. Whoever controls the line of scrimmage is going to win the game.
I think it'll come down to one big mistake.
Or that.
The team that makes the big mistake. And that's what that's what it came down to in the Cincinnati, Kansas City. That penalty, that was the big mistake.
Well, I think the big thing, too, is can Hurts take advantage of that Kansas City secondary, because Kansas City secondary, believe it or not, really isn't all that great. I mean, we've seen them get beat before several times, you know. So can he exploit the secondary of Kansas City? You know, that's one thing that, you know, I felt like the Bengals just couldn't get a good job on, was exploiting the secondary. And I think a lot of that had to do because their offensive line, you know, just didn't give Burrow enough time to Burrow just didn't have enough time to really find Chase or find Boyd or find Higgins the way he wanted to.
I'm not saying he's not capable of, because I know he is, but Hurts is going to have to play a better game this week than he played last week.
Oh, no, no doubt about it. I 100% agree with you. And I'll tell you, if I'm Kansas City, I got to do a better job at getting pressure on the quarterback as well. I've got to get pressure on Hurts. I've got to make him be uncomfortable the majority of the game.
They got a pretty good defensive line as well, so that's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, their defensive backs are not as strong, but yeah.
The Chiefs have a pretty solid defensive line with the pass rush, so that's going to be a good matchup for that offensive line as well. It's going to be fun to watch. I just wish it wasn't 2 weeks.
Kansas City.
Yeah, 2 weeks is a lot. A lot of things can happen in 2 weeks. You know, when you get a long layoff like that, you're either going to come back focused, 100% ready to go, or you're going to come back, you know, lackadaisical and slow.
And that was something I was telling Dad earlier. That's another thing you got to keep in mind, is how good Andy Reid is usually after a week off or coming off a bye or having extra time. He's been a good record coming off that extra time like that. And then the other thing is the Chiefs have some experience where the Eagles don't have as much experience at being in the Super Bowl as the Chiefs, coaching-wise and player-wise. So that the start of that game can be real important, as both teams are trying to get their nerves calmed down.
The Chiefs really do have a good offensive coordinator in Bieniemy. But I really think that the Eagles have a damn good defensive coordinator and what's his name? Gallo? What's that defensive coordinator thing over there? Is it Galloway or Gallo or
I can't remember, Jay.
Well, I think Philly's got a good coaching staff, period.
I'm talking about the defensive coordinator.
I'm just saying that they don't have the experience as the Chiefs coaching staff does.
To be honest with you, Andy Reid's damn near 80 years old. Who's going to have a lot of court? I mean, he might as well go dig up Lovie Smith. Maybe go dig up.
It's Gannon that's the DC.
Yep, Gannon. Yeah. Gannon. Thank you. Gannon. There you go. Gannon.
Yeah. I know why they do the 2 weeks off. I just don't like it. But hey, I know the teams in the Super Bowl love having that extra week for guys to heal up and everything.
I know Kansas City's loving it right now.
And no, I'm excited for the XFL to start, Dustin. I've been waiting on that. I was a big fan of it when it was around before the pandemic fucking shut it down. What do you think about the salary cap going to increase about 17 or 18 million?
Man, well, for a lot of teams, it's going to be good. You know, if you're a team like, if you're a team like the Packers, where you're cap strapped, it's going to really be it's going to be beneficial, right? If you're a team like the Patriots, who have a really large cap already, and then you're going up even more to that cap, I mean, they're going to have a lot of money to deal with. I mean, a lot of money.
We're going to have quite a bit of money too.
Yeah. The Colts will be. I heard the Colts are getting a sponsor though. So they'll probably be putting a patch on y'all's uniform. I think it's going to be right about here. But yeah, I heard the Colts got a sponsor, so that'll probably help out along with everything else you got going on.
Who's the sponsor?
Goodwill.
Goodwill.
Hey, where's the sound effects? Damn. You know, Gonzo, you're sleeping right now. You're sleeping at the wheel, man. You had this beautiful, beautiful sound effects board over there, and you're not even using it. And don't think that I didn't hear over there. Tony's like, hey, Chris, are you going to ask him or you want me to? He's going to ask him. Wah, wah. What a shame to let a really good sound effects board just go to waste.
Hey, you know what something cool is? I figured it out today. Now, next time we do a watch along, I can have the sound from the TV playing in our headphones, and it won't go onto the stream.
Oh, where you mean where you are right now, current? Okay, I got you. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's like,
great. Now we can actually have shit playing. I don't know how to do it. Took me a minute, but I figured it out.
Hey, that's all right. You better be figuring all this crap out for when you help me build my studio. So figure it all out now, Gonzo. Get all them kinks worked out now.
Go. My going price is $2 million a week.
let me tell you something. I will keep you so fed and so drunk you won't give a damn. Like what? What's that? Hey, you ain't drinking enough. Help! We need more whiskey. Gonzo's sobering up.
I ain't going there either, Mark.
Hey, what are we doing? What are we doing with the there's been a lot of trade talk going on around the league with CP. I don't mean to go Lakers or go basketball, but it seems like there's been a lot of talk about CP3 possibly getting traded now that the new regime is going to be taken over.
Yeah, it could be.
I wonder where he's going to be trucking to next.
Who do you think would want him?
Man, that's a damn good question. That's a damn good question.
I go over to the Lakers with Buddy LeBron.
Yeah, you know what? Could you imagine?
That's just what they need is an older player.
Yeah. Another old guy. You know what? He is older, but at the same time, though, he is a really good general on the floor. Like, if you're going to play with LeBron, I mean, you know, you got all the pieces. You just got to orchestrate it, which I think is – and he still can shoot the ball. He still can shoot the three. He can still shoot the – you know, he's still got a good shot to him, which is something that Patrick Beverley really didn't have. And the thing that Russell Westbrook took so many shots that his field goal percentage was low as hell. So I do think that – you know, it wouldn't be for long because I don't think Chris Paul has that much longer left in the league. But for a year, maybe 2 years at best, I'd probably take a gamble on it. It can't be the worst of what they already have.
LeBron didn't play, and neither did Davis.
Yeah, Davis set out tonight. LeBron set out tonight.
And didn't he just come back, Davis?
Yeah, Davis just came back, played other day, and then set out today.
What the hell?
I don't know.
Play one game and you got to rest? Son of a bitch.
That load management shit's getting out of control in the NBA.
Huh.
Yeah, but the load management. I mean, I understand load management, but they may not even make the playoffs.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, I tell you, man, the Lakers, they will – I do not see the Lakers finishing anywhere near the play-in. I think they're going to be exactly where they are right now, which is probably – 12 or 13. No, actually, I think they're 13 on the seed right now. So I think they're going to finish either 13 or 14, somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't think they get to the play-in. If anything, I think maybe they're lucky enough to get to 12, but I just don't think they're going to be good enough to get into that play-in, which is a shame because they sure as hell got a lot of money and stuff invested in that team to not make the play-in.
No, I agree. Not like that game tonight. Oh, you had Brooklyn and the Lakers, which Durant's hurt, but Simmons didn't play tonight. LeBron didn't play tonight. Davis didn't play tonight.
Yeah, how did Hachimura do?
I don't know. I didn't watch the game. I know the.
Oh, okay. I didn't watch it either.
The Nets blew like a 21 point lead, but they still end up winning by a pretty good number of points. Just double digits.
Jay, let me ask you, if you was a fan of one of these teams, the Lakers, the Nets, or some of these guys got some big names, and you bought tickets, and you went to the game, and all these guys set out, wouldn't you be pissed?
Oh, I'd be pissed. Yeah, I would, because why am I going to pay, you know, the money that they're asking me to pay, and then you want me to watch a G League team? I'm sorry. If I want to go watch a G League team, I'll go watch a G League team and probably spend a third of the money. Yeah, of course I'd be. I mean, anybody would be pissed when, you know, all your stars are sitting out, because that's why they charge so much damn money, is to see these guys. And how am I going to see them if they're in street clothes?
Yeah, I don't understand.
It pissed me. That would piss me. Because, I mean, seriously, a lot of these tickets, I mean, that's a big thing for a lot of people. Now, I know there's a lot of rich people out there that, you know, tickets like that probably aren't a big deal. But for lower middle and middle class, you know, those kinds of tickets, you know, that's a big deal.
And, you know, I was kind of he's talked about this before. I took my kids, and not the tickets were near expensive as what the NBA, and I'm talking about a long time ago. I'm talking about in the 80s. I took my early 90s, whatever. I took Chris and my other son, Jeff, and my daughter to see Hulk Hogan. And every time we showed up, and I got front row, second row seats at ringside three or four times. He never showed up, not one damn time.
Yeah, that's got to be irritating as hell, man.
And we're already there. The kids already bought their souvenirs. Now, they had a sign up. If you wanted your money back, they give it to you. Because but I mean, we're there.
What are you gonna do? You gonna turn around to your kids and say, "Sorry, Chris. Chris. You're not gonna be able to go see Hulk Hogan." And Chris gonna look at you like, "But I don't understand. I've got my headphones, or I got my little walkie-talkie and my microphone. How am I not going to go see them?"
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, they wanted to see Jake the Snake Roberts and Shawn Michaels and all those guys anyway, too. So I went ahead and stayed, but I was pissed.
Yeah.
You know.
How was Chris as a kid? Was he pretty even-tempered? He seems like a pretty mellowed-out kid growing up.
Yeah, he was.
It happened all the freaking time.
Yep. Every time we went. I mean, we always got the kids good seats, either when the kids or where the wrestlers walked down, or we was in the top four or five rows. The tickets weren't near as bad back then either. It's a lot more expensive now.
I mean, hell, everything is more expensive now. I mean, it's incredible how much money it costs to go do anything. I can only imagine how much WWE tickets would actually be, you know, if I wanted to go see them. I got to imagine I'm probably, if I wanted to take the wife and I wanted to get, you know, not great seats, but not bad either, maybe like middle of the row seats, I'm probably going to shove out a couple $100, maybe $300, $400, huh?
Yeah.
Probably.
For what now?
If I wanted to go see, like, you know, maybe not WrestleMania, just a normal wrestling event, I wonder how much, you know, a decent seat would cost me.
Yeah, you're probably looking about, I'd say probably about $100 a piece or so.
Not ringside.
He said a decent seat.
Decent seat.
No, just like a not a crappy seat, but not a great seat. You know, just something in the middle, right?
Yeah.
You know,
something in the middle, probably about $100.
Yeah, so I'm saying. So if I want to take the wife out to go see a wrestling game, I'm probably looking at like $200.
Oh, yeah.
And then I can only imagine if it was like WrestleMania Royal Rumble, I bet you the prices spike or double.
Well, we went to SummerSlam 2007. That's a long time ago. But and we had real good seats. I mean, not ringside, but about five rows up from ringside, right dead in the middle.
You can see people and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think they were $90 a piece then. That's 2007.
Wow.
But that was, like I said, it was only like you had your ringside, and then you went up to the next level, and we was like five or six rows up. I mean, we had really good seats.
Damn. Dustin chimes in saying that he said average price of a Super Bowl ticket is 1,000. So if I want to take my wife to go see it, I'd have to spend $2,500 if I want to take me and the wife to go to the Super Bowl.
That's just to get you in. That's not nothing.
Yeah, that's not your food or anything or the parking or any of that. That's just your tickets.
That's not your hotel food.
Yeah, your flight to Arizona.
Hotel. Let me tell you something, Chris. If I'm spending $2,500, I'm gonna go down there and get me a little 2-man tent and tell the wife, I hope you got a sleeping bag because hey, listen, we're sleeping outside the damn venue.
Shit, just go to a truck stop close by and sleep in your car, sleep in your vehicle.
Chris, what I say I'm gonna do, Chris. I'm gonna go sleep at the venue. And I'm gonna have me a little cup outside my tent saying, please, I will take donations.
Well, I'll spit out my water.
Jay's gonna have a cardboard sign. We'll work for food.
Yes. And you know, I might have another cardboard sign that has a few adult sayings on it. I can just only tell you that it'll be broken down in price points. much like at some restaurants, it'll all be a la carte.
A la carte.
I don't know if you saw, but Frankie put in the group chat the salary cap.
Yeah, I saw
not
that.
Salary cap, but a franchise tag amounts.
No, now that I did not see.
The NFL informed teams of the 2023 franchise tag numbers. Quarterback okay. Franchise tag is 32, almost 32.5 million. Running back is 10 million. Wide receivers, 19.7 million. Tight ends, 11.3 million. Offensive linemen's at 18.2 million. Defensive end, 19.7 million. Defensive tackle, 18.9 million. Linebacker, 20.9 million. Cornerback, 18 million. Safety is at 14 million. And the franchise tag for a kicker / punter is at 5.3 million.
I just wonder, like, how do they put linebackers at 20 million over and running back? How are running backs at 10 million and tight ends are at 11? I guess the tight ends block and catch.
Well, the way the franchise tag works, Jay, it's an average of all the other players in the league, of everybody at that position.
Well, that's true. I got what you're saying. Yeah. And right now, quarterbacks are. Pretty damn and
running backs. Running backs have kind of been devalued over the last few years, where they don't pay running backs near as much as they as other positions because they don't last as long, and they look at it as a lot easier to find a running back than some other positions.
What's the average running back? 3 or 4 years anymore?
Probably maybe 5.
Man, I'm really surprised that offensive linemen get paid less than linebackers. Because I would think that. An offensive lineman, you know, given you know what they mean to the franchise, you know, would be paid more.
Justin says, or Dustin says, lots of talk out of Minnesota that the Vikings are close to a 7-year, $210 million extension.
Wow.
At $140 million guaranteed.
That's $30 million a year
for a wide receiver. A lot of money.
Well, that's $11 million more than the franchise tag. So, wow, and 140 of it's guaranteed.
He says, worth it or not?
I'd say it's worth it because you got to imagine he's wide receivers in the league, right? So,
yeah, I was gonna say the way he's started out his career, I mean, I would think he'd be worth it, but you never know what's going to happen. I hate to say it, but injury-wise, you know what I mean? If an injury would pop up or something like that. But I think if you're the Vikings, you got to try to re-sign him. So I think it's a good move.
I wonder if you're like a Travis Kelce or Mark Andrews where, you know, yeah, you're a tight end, but it's almost like you're a hybrid tight end. You know, how much money does he command on the market? He's got to be worth a crap ton.
Well, that's why you see a lot of tight ends – always during contract negotiations, you hear a lot of them complaining is because they think like they should be getting more money and their teams are saying, well, that's not the tight end market.
Yeah, Kelce's better than most wide receivers.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, that's the thing, right? If you look at Kansas City, he is the number one wide receiver.
Yeah.
There's nobody above Kelce in the wide receiver range. And he's a blocker. So he blocks and he's the number one wide receiver. So why would he not get paid $30 million? I think he should be paid better than Jefferson just because he has to do two different functions.
Let me ask you something, Jay. Me and Chris was talking about this earlier about Gronk, because everybody says Gronk's the greatest tight end ever. I told Chris, I think by the time Kelce's done, he might be the greatest tight end ever.
Yeah, right now I do have Gronk as the best tight end ever. Yeah, but to your point, the longer that Kelce plays,
he's putting up numbers like this. I mean, he had like 15 or 16 touchdowns this year, dude.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah,
absolutely. That's what I'm saying. At the way he's trending right now. I mean, you got to figure everybody's impressing a better than everybody else, right? I mean, he had Tony Gonzalez at one time, Antonio Gates. Those were like the big cream of the crops. And now you're seeing the next level come in, which is the Kelce's, the Mark Andrews, you know, the Dan Wallers. You know, those are the guys that are, you know, doing the next level, right? So.
I was going to ask you, too, about that rumor about the Bears possibly making a trade with the Raiders in talks and stuff. Would you do that deal? Because I heard it involved the running back for Raiders.
Jacobs
going to the Bears. What do you think about that?
Oh, in order for the Raiders to get the number one pick?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bears are talking about trading back.
That's a rumor. I'm not saying it's
– Or it's a rumor that's been out there.
Well,
there was other things involved in the two draft picks and stuff.
But what do you think about Jacobs there with Fields?
Yeah, that's the thing. The way I look at Jacobs and with Fields would be almost the same way as I looked at David Montgomery and Fields. I mean, Montgomery at one time was a hell of a good freaking running back. He kind of has slid down a little bit this year, but the previous couple of years before this year, I mean, Montgomery was looking amazing. So I don't know. I think it would be an even trade-off if you let go of Montgomery for Jacobs. To me, it's an even wash. I don't think – I'm not looking for great things out of Jacobs any more than what I was looking for out of Montgomery.
Well, Jacobs,
I think it might be kind of foolish for them. Who's the running back behind Jacobs over there with the Raiders? I know they got another running back that's supposed to be pretty good, right? So what's his name? Had two running backs over there. Right, Jacobs was one. There was another one as well that I think was supposed to be pretty decent.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back and look at their depth chart to get his name,
It depends on what draft picks you're getting back as well, but I think Jacobs.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, if you're getting the Bears, I'm not letting go of Jacobs or, you know, whatever else you want unless you're giving me the first, you know, the first overall pick. Because if I'm the Raiders, I need to get me a quarterback probably to replace the one.
Oh, yeah. It was going to include the number one over pick because Bears
were moving back.
Bears was going to get the Raiders first round pick in the draft, which I forget it was what, 9 or something like that? 13? I don't know. 9, I think, and then they were going to get a couple other draft picks and Jacobs. So, I mean, yeah, it's going to
be a pretty good – God, I don't know, man. That's a lot. That's a lot to give up of your team just to get that one pick. That's a lot to give up. I don't think I'm giving up – if you want me giving up picks and Jacobs, no, I'm not doing that. I'm keeping Jacobs. I'll keep it to the picks. You know, I'll give you a first round this year and maybe, you know, a couple of second rounds this year.
Oh, it's going to take at least take at least two first rounders, if not three, to get that number one pick from them.
Oh, God, that's a lot.
Players. They have that's the leverage.
If you bring in Brady, I should say.
Yeah, it's going to be – that'll be interesting, too, who the quarterback
is. I mean, it might not be bad. I mean, if you look at it one way, yeah, you're taking some steps back. But if you plan on bringing in Brady, how are you going to bring Brady in when you just let go of your wide receiver and your picks? That might be a harder sell to bring Brady in if your running game is suspect.
Yeah, could be. It's going to be
that could be a harder sell for him.
And it's going to be interesting to see where players end up during the offseason. You know, once the Super Bowl ends, we'll start seeing some players moving around and stuff. So it's going to be. I mean, we'll find out if Brady's going to play again, where that's going to be, where's Aaron Rodgers going to end up at. who's going to be the Raiders quarterback. And then that's not even counting like draft. You always seems like we always see some trades around draft night as well.
Yeah, Zamir White. That's who. That's they got Zamir White. That's their third round draft pick out of Georgia. Okay. And then they got some other guy, Amir Abdullah, as their second round as their number two running back. So I don't know. I mean, if you're gonna let Jacobs walk, then that means you're gonna have a lot of trust and faith in, you know, Abdullah and Zamir. Yeah.
And neither one of them had very many yards this year.
Yeah, Jacobs was their main back, and he's pretty good back too. He catches the ball backfield as well. So
yeah, because Jacobs had over 1,600 yards this year.
So Zamir gave him what, 17 attempts at 70 yards?
Yeah.
So he's averaging 4.1 a carry. Now, again, that's not a whole lot of attempts. So, you know, that's not really, I don't think that's really a true representation, but still, it's not bad. At 4.1, it's not bad on those types of attempts. He's 6 foot, 218. I like, you know, I got to be honest with you. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I like my running backs a little smaller. I don't like them super tall like that. I feel like when they're like around the 5'8 to 5'9, you know, at 200 pounds,
yeah, Jake,
you know, that gives them able ability to hide behind those big offensive linemen to where you can't see them as well, and they can slide around places.
Yeah, Jacobs was almost 5 yards per carry.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm saying he's a good back.
Well, if you look at Amir Abdullah, you know, again, he only has 4 attempts, so you really can't – really not enough to really judge anything on. So I mean, he's averaging 5, but it's not really a muff to average. But for his career, he's got 1,500 yards, 413 attempts at 3.9. So for a career, he's got 3.9.
And another thing about Jacobs, he had 53 catches too.
Yes, yes. And that's the thing, right? You really want a dual threat quarterback, I mean, running back that can catch and run, right? So
yeah, he had combined over 2,000 yards. Catches and running.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good.
Oh, no, it's good. No, hey, nobody's going to question that. And, again, he's like 5'10", 220. So, you know, that's more my size of running back. I like the Maurice Jones-Drews type, you know, the smaller ones, but they got the big thighs, and they can run you over, or they can elude you east or west. So, yeah, I like that style of running back.
Yeah, some of them shorter running backs, too, can get lost. Behind the line.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I mean, like, you know, if you're 5'8", 5'9", and you're behind 6'1", 6'2" linemen, yeah, you can hide pretty well. As long as your offensive lineman can block worth a damn.
That's something that seems like the NFL's on a shortage of is offensive linemen that can block worth a hell.
Yeah, I mean, look at the Jets. They brought in Dwayne Brown, and he wound up getting hurt. Then they had their other offensive lineman who wound up getting. I mean, the Jets had like two or three starting caliber linemen that went down with injuries. So I mean, it was really hard for them to build any kind of unit on that offensive line because they kept losing them to injury.
Yeah.
I can only imagine. Could you imagine being like damn near 400 pounds? And what if that leg goes underneath you or whatever the case may be? And you got 400 pounds coming down on that? I mean, that's just that's crazy to me. The amount of pain that would go into that is just nuts.
Yeah. Well, that's why it makes even – you see Mahomes get rolled on like by that lineman with his leg. And it just like – I thought he was done for the rest of the year. I didn't think he'd be back out there.
Right. Oh yeah, I didn't, and I'm still surprised that he's actually out there. That blew my mind
just,
too.
And I thought he was just out there, Jay. He played a good game. I mean, a real good game.
I trust me, I'm right there with you. I get you. He did play a good game,
dude. This dude has to be an alien or something because it just don't make a whole lot of sense. You shouldn't be able to do that.
Oh yeah, I agree. I don't think you should be able to do that either. I mean, like I told you earlier, man, that. And I don't even know if he really had a high. I'm questioning whether or not he really had a high ankle sprain, because a high ankle sprain typically on the low end, on the mild end, is a week, bare minimum a week. And we're not talking athletic week. I mean, we're talking civilian. I just want to walk to my car and walk back from my car. Okay, you're good. Or, you know, whatever. When you got quarterbacks that are cutting, that are jumping, that are, you know, juking left and right, that's a lot to put on the ankle. And that's why I guess in this game, you didn't really see him do a lot of that. He stayed mostly in the pocket because he knew he really couldn't do all that. I mean, I don't know. That's a lot of craziness to me.
They said that he was there to like 9, 10 o'clock every night getting treatment done. So the only time he would leave was to go home to sleep, and he'd be right back there first thing in the morning.
Yeah, I saw that same report. He said he was getting like 5 and 6 hours a day of treatment. Yeah, damn. Okay.
What all can they fucking do to you? You know what I mean? Your body had, I mean.
Yeah.
I'm sure they gave a nice shot before the game. But.
Bro, I'm looking at the size of these offensive linemen for the Raiders, and they're averaging, the average height for an offensive lineman is 6'8" on this Raiders team. 6'8". Damn. That's incredibly freaking huge.
They got a fucking basketball team on the offensive bro. Line.
6'8", 6'8", 6'5", 6'4", 350, 320. I mean, these are some big boys, man. I'm telling you. 6'4", 345 pounds. Jeez Louise, man. Hey, listen. If you put me in that guard as a right guard or right tackle, I'm just going to lay down. Hey. Hey, bro. Hey, look, man, I'm not going to try to fuck with you. I'm just here for one game check so I could buy my house. I'm good. I'd be like Gonzo going out in the middle of the ring, getting slapped in the chest. Hey, I'll take 4 slaps. I'm just trying to pay off my DJ equipment, man. Come on, let's go.
I took them 3. Fuck.
Gonzo, you took those 3. I'm surprised you took the 3. I probably would have taken 1 and called it a day.
Well, I thought I was only going to be 1. I got kind of fucked on that deal as well.
Bro, if you hit me 1 time, I'm running circles around the ring. You're going to have to catch me to give me a number 2.
Well, see, because what happened is there was another podcast that was there.
Yeah.
And they took one of them guys, got in there, and this dude body slammed him, dude. You know, I mean, he picked him up and basically just laid him on the mat.
Yeah.
Well, then one of the promoters from that wrestling company started yelling up, talking shit to us. Well, my cousin who was helping me at the time, he took off and left. He went to a different room. He wasn't going
there. He's like, anymore. I ain't having none of this craziness.
And my buddy Eric, who passed away in October,
right?
He kind of walked away. He wasn't going down there either. And I'm like, well, what? Somebody has to go. We're gonna look like
hey, God, God was like,
so I said, "Fucking, I'll go." I was the worst. There goes little God
beats up and down to the ring. And I can just imagine it. Oh boy, had Gonzo up over like this, and Gonzo's like, catch me. almost like Thunderlips and Rocky.
I told him on my way down there, I said, you guys better get this on fucking camera.
He took 3
shots. Yeah, hey, you tell him, hey, I'm not doing this twice. I'll give you once, and you ain't getting twice.
Well, he took 3 chops, and he took it from the guy that probably hits the guy I think hits the hardest chop in Indiana.
Yeah.
What was one of them, and he nailed him.
You know, the other guys had tryouts for WWE.
Yep.
Dex.
Yep.
I could just see Chris now. Hey, are you Gonzo? Nah, man, I'm Tony, man. That's Gonzo over there. Get Gonzo up there. Let's go.
His chest was bruised for about 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I bet it was, man. I bet Gonzo looked like he walked around with a permanent sunburn.
Oh, dude, it was nasty. Look, it turned different colors. I don't know how them guys take them damn chops.
I seen a picture of Rhea Ripley today with her makeup off and stuff.
Yeah.
She had bruises, little tiny bruises all over her face and stuff from that match. I mean, just bruise, you know, not big bruises, but, you know, a little bit of black eyes, some little bruises all over her face stuff. Yeah, I mean, well, she was in the ring for over an hour, so.
Hey, is she, is Rhea Ripley, is she pretty ugly and without her makeup on? Or is she okay looking?
No. I tell you what, 4 or 5 years ago, she looked, she had longer blonde hair, completely different looking than what she looks like now. She was not a bad looking girl at all.
Don't she have her earlobes all stretched out with those
gates? I think so now. I think so. Yeah, Jay, she's only like 25 years old.
Yeah, I don't like it when them women stretch out their earlobes real big like that. To me, that just looks so crazy.
Yeah, I think it looks a little crazy too.
It's this weird generation. This weird generation we're in. I tell you.
Yeah. But, she looks a little crazy, but I still like her.
Hey, she wanted to go out on a date. I'm not going to say no.
Hey, and she announced tonight she's going to take on Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania.
Oh, Rhea Ripley's going to take on Charlotte Flair
at WrestleMania. That's who she picked. She had a choice of two champions, and she picked her.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I just have a hard time dating a woman who has bigger biceps than I do. I'm good. No, you can have that one, sir. I'm good here. Thank you.
Did you watch any of Raw tonight?
No, I actually, but I taped it, so don't tell me nothing yet because I'm gonna watch it in the morning.
He taped it.
Hey, I had to, man. Dude, last night I was today I was so tired, and last night I was tired, and man, I've been running ragged, so I just haven't had, but I knew I taped it, so I was like, yeah, I knew I was gonna watch it either today or tomorrow, so I was like, I'll watch it tomorrow.
Their next big pay-per-view is Elimination Chamber. That's February 18th. We'll do a watch along if Chris is healthy enough. He's having back surgery the 15th. So
oh wow. Yeah. Yeah, I knew Chris was having it.
Yep.
Yeah, man. Hey, listen, we do, man. I'm telling, listen, Frankie. When you're this valuable, man, I'm telling you, bro, it's crazy, man. I'm telling you, man, it sucks up a lot of energy, you know? You know, hey, interestingly enough, though, hey, Luka goes off for 53 points, Mavericks over Detroit.
What was the final score in there being? Because it was a close game.
Oh, I'm sorry, 111-105 Mavs.
I don't say it was a close game in the fourth quarter, I heard on the radio.
Yeah, it was close. I'm telling you, man. Hey, Luka, if Luka don't get MVP this year, man, I'm telling you, I'm just like, I like Joker. Don't get me wrong. I think Joker, you know, if Joker gets it, I mean, it is what it is because Joker's been doing great too. But Luka, I just feel like it's Luka's time. I feel like this is Luka's year to get it. You know what I mean? They really might have been dodging him a little bit.
Dallas is about 500, ain't they?
They are 27-25. They're two games above 500.
That's going to hurt him a little bit, I think.
Yeah, it will. I mean, if he was around, you know, third or fourth seed, you know, maybe we're looking okay. I think Dallas is around like sixth or seventh seed, if I'm not mistaken.
I know the Warriors beat the Raptors. I heard that on the radio right before we went on air. I haven't looked at any of the other games.
Right. I'll tell you, man. Hey, watch out for that Sagoon, though. For real. That's I think he plays forward for the Rockets, but watch out for that guy because he's been averaging close to a triple-double just about almost every night this season. Like I think he's gonna be a force to reckon with.
I'll tell you another guy. Benedict Mathurin, the rookie that the Pacers
drafted. Yeah,
dude, he's having a hell of a season. Mm-mm-mm-mm. I think he's gonna have a good shot at maybe getting a rookie of the year.
Oh yeah, yeah. Dallas is riding at number six right now. They're 16. They're actually dead. They're actually tied with or they're 0.001% behind Golden State. So they're basically Golden State, and they're half a game back of the Clippers at number four. So. But yeah, man, Mathurin. Hey, those pace. Hey, you guys over there in Pacer land, y'all are doing all right.
If we can get our Halliburton back,
Halliburton's missed about 2 weeks now. We need him back.
They've struggled without.
Where y'all? I was trying to see where you guys are riding at right now. Oh, and you're at number. You're right at number 11 right now.
Okay,
we wasn't
six till Halliburton.
No, you're 24 and 28. You're
We lost.
You're a half game behind Chicago. Chicago's
at number 10. Nine of our last 10.
Yeah, lost nine of our last 10 without Halliburton.
Yeah, that was and that's a big loss. Well, you're on a three-game losing streak. Yeah, you're 1-9. In your last 10, you're 1-9.
8 for our last 9. Okay.
But you get Halliburton back. Halliburton, you know, you get him back. You guys will bounce back in there. You're definitely right there at the play-in. I think once you get Halliburton back, if you can avoid injuries, you know, you guys will creep
back. I'm happy. We're farther along than I thought we'd be this year. So
yeah, absolutely. You're right. You're right. No, you definitely are. And all I need is the Rockets to keep losing. Just keep losing. That's right. Good boys. Good boys.
Only bad thing about that is you never know what pick you're going to get.
Hey, remember what I told you? Hey, Gonzo, it's like going to Vegas, man. You put your chips in the middle and you see where you fall. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, you put your 2 cents in the middle. Honestly, I think the Rockets need a new head coach anyway. So at this point,
the fucking 76ers lost to the Magic.
Who did they lose to?
The fucking Orlando Magic.
Oh, wow.
That was one of the picks I gave out. They were 9.5-point favorites and they got beat by. They got beat by fucking 10 points.
Man, that's crazy.
So I went 2-2 in my NBA picks today.
I did 6 picks. The last I checked, I was 0-4, so I was fucking sucked.
Virginia won, didn't they?
Yeah,
but Syracuse.
But it was 5.5 points spread.
Well, they beat them all.
5.
Oh, did they have, well, I lost that one.
It sucked.
I haven't checked Texas or Iowa State. Fuck it, man. Sometimes it can be rough.
I've had a bad time. I was doing pretty well, but the last 2 weeks have sucked.
Well, let's go ahead and get the final thoughts, and we'll talk about Monday Night Raw on Wednesday night. That way,
I can watch it, and we don't
run it for Jay.
Yep.
Yeah, do that, please, because you know some of us are, you know, we're fucked up people, but. No, man. Hey, final thoughts for this evening is, wow. You know, it wasn't long ago that Houston was ranked number one in the NCAA men's basketball, and I think now we're ranked at like around number 3. We lost a couple of games there that I felt like we should have won. Let me ask you guys a question. I don't know, Gonzo, I know you guys have been busy with wrestling and everything and everything else going on, but have you had a chance to watch any college basketball?
I watch some. I watch a lot of the IU games, and then I've been watching some of the Purdue games because Purdue's ranked number one in the nation.
Yeah, Purdue's got the number one spot right now. And they beat Ohio, which was number two.
Of course, they're here in Indiana, so I watch some of them. But I'm not a Purdue fan. I'm an IU fan, so Purdue's our rival. But
we did go see Purdue last year in the Big Ten championship. We
went to the Big Ten championship game last year.
Oh, nice.
Against Iowa.
That was
nice.
That was pretty. It was pretty cool.
Awesome. I'd like to do it again this year.
Man, y'all had all those good years under Bobby Knight.
Get this, Jay. We were 1 second away from it being Indiana against Purdue in the Big Ten championship game last year. And we're both big IU fans,
right?
Guy from Iowa hit a fucking 3-pointer at the buzzer as tie right out to beat IU.
Banked it in.
Yeah, banked it in. Oh,
hey, how many times have we seen shots like that happen like, where you think, okay, you got it, and then you like don't have
feet.
It at the end?
Yeah, it was like 40 feet.
It was 40 feet.
Threw up a prayer and banked it in.
Yeah.
Put IU out. It would have been IU and Purdue, and that would have been an awesome experience because that place would have been going crazy, both teams from Indiana.
But it was still cool with Iowa and Purdue, but it would have been even better with Purdue and IU.
Yeah, it was a cool experience. That's the first time I ever went to a big-time college basketball game like that. I've been to a couple of IU games. I've been doing an IU game before there in Bloomington, but not a big game like that.
My final thoughts are: if you live in the city of Philadelphia, and you guys happen to win the Super Bowl, and you want to go out there and climb some telephone poles, I highly recommend you put some spikes on the bottom of your shoes. Do what you do. But I highly recommend you put on some spikes at the bottom of your shoes. Frankie, I don't know if they make them in your size, but if they do, get some spikes. Trust me. You'll thank me for it later.
That's
Unscripted. Don't forget Unscripted guys on Twitter. All one word. Yep.
Yeah, my final thought is watch out for Purdue because they've been winning a lot of close games, and I think they could be dangerous. Like I said, they are number one, but like me and Chris has talked, their big key is that big 7 foot guy that they have not getting in foul trouble. He tends to get in foul trouble. So that's going to be a big key for them in the tournament.
He's been doing better this season than last year.
But... Yeah. Last year he got a lot of foul trouble.
Mm-mm. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you two guys this real quick before we get out of here. Who's y'all's final four? Like, if you had to guesstimate who you think would be in the final four, who you putting in?
Oh, man.
Wow. No, I think there's 20 teams that could be there. Maybe more. I don't think there's a clear cut favorite this year. Right. I'd have to really look at it.
Okay. No, that's fair enough. That's a fair statement.
Like Houston. I like Purdue. Other than that, I really haven't watched enough of it to say. But I do like Houston, and I do like.
That's Purdue. The thing, though, man. Right? I mean, that's the thing with college basketball tournaments. Is there's so many teams that you just don't know who's going to make it. Injuries probably play a part of it. You know, all those things play. So it's so hard to really predict, right?
Plus, this time of year, just now, you're getting at the beginning of February. All the teams are now on their conference schedule. This is where you really start to see how good some of these teams are, because now they're
right.
A little tougher competition.
Kansas will be dangerous too.
Yeah, Kansas is pretty good.
Yeah, I do see Kansas being dangerous. I agree with you on that. Kansas was
healthy and they play up to their ability. They can be dangerous, but
they're playing good right now though.
Yeah, they've been playing. Yeah, they've been playing good here.
They
lately.
Moved back in the rankings. They're 21.
They picked a great coach. I'll tell you what, I think they finally got the right coach Mike Woodson.
They got the right coach. I believe that.
I'll tell you, man, you know, before we get out of here, though, man, it is pretty special when you think about the Super Bowl. I don't like the teams that are in it, but they do have some really nice storylines, right? You got Andy Reid going against his old team. You got two African-American quarterbacks that's never been done before. And then you got two brothers going at it in the Super Bowl, and that's never been done before. So that's three storylines, you know, quite honestly, that hasn't been done before. So I tell you, man, it's gonna be special. I know we gotta wait 2 weeks, but it'll be special.
Think it's gonna be high scoring or low scoring?
I think it's gonna be low. I don't think it's gonna be as high as people think it is. Because I with those two good defenses, yeah, I'm gonna put low scoring. I'm gonna say 21-7 or 21-14, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah, I was thinking 2017, something like that.
Yeah, I could see that too. 2017. I could see it being a field goal type of game. I could also see it going into overtime, to be honest with you.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a real good game. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be probably around a 3-point game. It could come down to one of them games who has the ball last.
And that's the thing, though. We say that, but it's true. It very well could come down to who has the ball last. I mean, that's highly plausible.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you what, man. Hey, I tell you what. I would not want to be the guy that's putting money on it, because that would just drive me so – I'd be so nervous to put money down on this game.
I can't imagine. Give me a good spread. Some of these guys can put, like, $2 million on these games. It'd make me fucking sick.
Oh, yeah. Like Mattress Mac, who put $2 million on the Cowboys to win, and he wound up losing. But this is the same guy – that just won $75 million on the college national championship.
He won a bunch on the Astros.
And he won a bunch of the Astros too. I mean, when you're dealing with that kind of money, man, I wouldn't. Me personally, I'm not putting those kind of wagers down. My balls aren't that big enough. Well, they are pretty big, but they're in Mel's purse, and I don't think I could ever get them out.
She got that big bag, doesn't she?
Bro, listen, she when she carries my nuts, she puts a backpack on.
Oh, shit. Only thing I got before we get out of here is join us tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern for Around the Bases baseball show. Also, join us tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern, ASAP Afternoon Blitz, 3 p.m. Eastern, Easy Money, a sports betting show. And then at 4 p.m. Eastern, we have pro wrestler Jordan James. Is going to be joining us for tomorrow for an interview. Should be a great conversation, so join us for that. And then on Wednesday, we have pro wrestler T-Ray Watford joining us. From Texas. So we have two interviews this week, and then this weekend on Saturday, we're going to be in Crawfordsville, Indiana for NGW Wrestling, live streaming their show. And then Sunday we'll be in Greenfield, Indiana, live streaming Summit Pro Wrestling. So we got two pro wrestling shows this weekend, a couple interviews this week. So busy week. Hit that subscribe button at Gonzo Sports Room, YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, Twitter, Instagram. And the same thing for the All Sports All Plays Network, Unscripted. Same thing.
Hey, what do we got Tuesday and Thursday? You forgot one show. What do we got Tuesday and Thursday night?
Tuesday and Thursday? Unscripted. I hadn't finished yet.
Well, you got all the way to the weekend. I thought you were finishing out.
Now, already, I skipped to the weekend because I was talking about the wrestling interviews, and I knew if I didn't mention the wrestling shows, I wouldn't get back to the wrestling.
Yeah, hey, that T Ray Watford man is going to be an amazing interview. What day did you see that one was on? Was it Wednesday?
That's a Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah, that's going to be you guys don't want to miss that. Gonzo and T Ray, that's going to be a really, really good interview. I'm looking forward to that one, honestly.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. I'm looking forward to the one tomorrow afternoon, too. It'll be a real good one.
Lots of good content.
We had a Jordan's been on once before about, I'd say probably a year ago.
Oh, wow. So has it been that long?
So it's been a while. Yeah, it's been at least a year since Jordan's been on. So it'll be another great time. He was a musician. Then he went from being a musician going into the wrestling business. It'll be a fun, interesting conversation.
Absolutely.
Other than that, I appreciate everybody joining us tonight. Thought it was another good show of GSR Gonzo Sports Room. GSR will be back Wednesday at 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk a little bit of Monday Night Raw. We'll talk Super Bowl, NBA, and whatever crazy ass stories pop up. You never know with these athletes these days. You never know what you're going to wake up to.
Yeah, it's amazing what they get themselves into, isn't it? It's crazy.
But thanks for joining us. We'll see you guys Wednesday night at 11 for another episode of GSR. Hope to see you guys on tomorrow for another full slate of shows. I think I got five shows I'm doing tomorrow, counting Unscripted. So it's going to be another busy day tomorrow. We're putting out a lot of great content. Hope you guys are enjoying it. And we will see you guys Wednesday night at 11 for some more GSR Gonzo Sports Room.